Nevada backcountry, and both of us back in the studio after a trip to Vegas.
Yes.
So, you did extremely well, Dave.
I felt I did pretty darn good. I did not beat my all-time best score.
Which is?
Out of 900, 892.
Whoa.
For 3 days.
Yeah, all right.
So, well, I mean, it felt that was last year I did that. But you remember, the pros are shooting 900s. They're shooting clean 900s.
So. Yeah, it comes down to an X count thing.
Well, yeah, it comes down to X count. So that's where I want to be eventually.
Well, yeah, you and I both. But
yeah,
hey.
So, but yeah, shot real well. So did you, though. I mean,
I hung for the first day. Second day, I shot lights out. If we're going to go down the self-congratulatory rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Man. I thought I was on fire through end six or seven.
Yeah, I was.
And then
watching
I fell
you,
apart.
I wouldn't say. I mean, falling apart's like shooting blueberries or missing the target or just.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, the target panic kicking in and you're gunching and hammering triggers and just that's melting.
Okay. I dropped some points I shouldn't
you
have.
Just, yeah, exactly. And I did the same. And I knew exactly what I did as soon as the bow released. I was like. Buttercups.
Yeah, buttercups.
I just knew it. I was like, that's not an X or a 10.
Yeah.
And I hit a 9. And that just, you know, when you're like us and you compete, 9s are not acceptable.
No.
You need to hit that nickel every shot.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
yeah.
You know, you got 90 arrows you got to stick on the nickel. And it's like, well, that one didn't hit.
Well, and if a 9 is unacceptable, I threw 2 8s in there just for good measure.
8s are absolutely, completely not acceptable.
So I think I was only 3 down going into the 6th or 7th end. And then something happens when I get in these situations. And I don't know what it is. It's like as the level of pressure or stress goes up, I get more lackadaisical and I was like, okay, don't get stressed about it, Henry. You're shooting well. And then I went into full blown like slacker, like, oh, okay, I'm flinging arrows. This is fun.
And that's very common. You see that a lot when you're talking to some of the pro shooters and you're asking them about like, what are some of your bigger stressors or where do you feel you start like teetering off of your standard practice, you know, your management practice when you're really crushing it. And that is it right there. I did it twice where I shot clean for 5 or so rounds instead of just going, okay, Catalano,
keep doing what you're doing. Yeah.
One arrow at a time, stick to it. One of my big things is I got to not think about how I was shooting or how I've been shooting because then that adds a level of stress. Like,
gotta do this.
I've got 10 straight X's or I'm totally clean right now through 15 arrows. Okay, I gotta do better. I gotta stick on it. You just get that wrapped in your head, and next thing you know, you launch a 9. And that's what I did this year. And that it was okay. I know what I've done, so I'm like, all right, I know what I need to work on.
Well, I'll tell you, my kids were mighty proud of Mr. Dave for shooting a 295. They were pretty excited about that 295.
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah. Well, cool. I'm happy. Your little one, I get such a kick out of them.
Oh,
they're
man.
So cool.
You know, I love them to death. At one point I looked over, Wyatt had his shoes off.
Yeah.
And he and John were wrestling in the hallway.
Yeah.
We got some looks, but hey, it's, dude, you know,
tell people to look the other way. Your kids are having a blast. I loved it when they charged each other right there.
Oh, yeah.
When you were shooting and John runs over to the water tank there, the dispenser, and he gets in that like
linebacker
pose. And
yeah.
There's like the countdown starts and your wife is so awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, she is. Besides being like ninja reflexes as John, as the two boys are charging each other.
Barreling towards
each other without any understanding that they're probably going to hurt each other.
Oh, yeah. No concept.
Just absolute.
She was a saint.
She handles that. She grabs the one, grabs the other. I was like, dang. That's not something you learn in Lamaze class.
No, Truly is very popular at our house. Yeah. I think she just
It was
awesome watching them. I mean, the kids had an absolute blast. Let's switch gears a little bit.
Yeah.
It's moving. It's changing venues.
Yeah, the contract with South Point has come to term. South Point has been a great location. They have announced the new location in Vegas where the Vegas shoot's going to be, which is the largest indoor competition shoot world event in the world.
Oh, yeah. It's,
you know, we had 4,500 archers.
4,461 or something.
Something nuts like that. So when it was announced during the championship on Sunday night, it was kind of, I think, Bruce, the NFAA director, and I think he was expecting everyone to, like, stand up and
hoots and hollers,
and throw confetti and hoot and holler and the whole thing. And the place was like crickets.
Well, it's a little not convoluted. It's a little complicated.
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of thrown out there, spitballed out there, like, all right, we're moving to all four casinos. They are. The four casinos that it's moving to are going to be the Horseshoe, the Paris, the Flamingo, and Planet Hollywood. The cool thing is they're all owned by Caesars.
Right.
And it's all a massive complex. They're all connected except for Planet Hollywood, which is across the street.
But you could still walk. I mean, walking.
Yeah, you can just walk across. So, you know, when they just throw that out there, everybody was like, how are you going to do that? In their minds, and even in my mind when I was listening to it and sitting there, was how are we going to have shooting events in every single one of these hotel complexes and be able to, like, get family members to their shooting areas, or my kids when they're shooting in all these other places. People want to really get a good explanation of the new location in Vegas for the shoot, and it's a new date. It's not in February anymore. It's going to be in the first weekend of March. Go to Paige Pierce on Facebook, and she does a great explanation of the new venues, why it was done, how it is actually a good thing.
Yeah, on the venue point, I can see, because it is growing. I mean, they basically ran out of space.
Well, we completely grew out of the South Point. Hotel-wise, we max out their hotel. And then you've got the condo complex next door. And so they say only about 2/3 of the people there for the event are actually housed at the Grandview next door or South Point. The rest all have to go find other places to stay, which end up being downtown. And these people are having to Uber every day back and forth. So it's $100 a day to Uber. But the big thing is it came down to, there's only two hotels where all of the shooting's going to take place. They're connected. It's the Horseshoe and the Paris. And it's all only in the two. Horseshoe and Paris is where all the shooting is going to take place. With it growing every year by something on an average of like 300 to 400 shooters, this is going to allow a greater opportunity for all the shooters to be in four hotels, all in that same complex and downtown.
At different price points.
The food is another big thing. When you're stuck out there at the South Point.
Oh, there's only a couple options. Yeah.
That's it. And when you got 4,000 people wanting to go to dinner at the same time, it makes it tough. So now you'll have downtown. You'll have, I think they said something like over 250 places within walking distance to eat.
Okay, well, and you said 4,000, Dave. I read that it was almost 11,000 people attend.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
4,400, 4,500 shooters.
Shooters, and then their family, their friends, people from the community that come and watch it every year.
People working the trade show.
That's right. You've got just about every vendor out there in the trade show. It's humongous. Yeah, you're right. There was something they said between 11 and 12,000 people.
When we come back, let's talk. I got a couple more questions about the date. And then we'll kind of do a wrap up on the Vegas shoot 2024 in the books now. Show is brought to you by Hunt and House Archery Center over there off Longley. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3. We'll be right back. Thank you to Out West Buildings for sponsoring the show today. Go see Irvin out in Fallon. She sheds, man caves, trophy rooms, you name it, they've got it, and at the best prices. Out West Buildings in Fallon, Nevada. The show is Nevada Backcountry. Dave and I are chatting Vegas Archery Tournament right now. Before we go into some of the exciting stuff on commission notes, because the commission meetings have wrapped up now.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the Vegas thing. You had mentioned the date changing.
A lot of people are upset with the NFAA for changing the date. The thing was, is they had 1 year to do this after South Point said, okay, they weren't going to renew anything and it was time for us to go. So most hotels in the Vegas area are booked out like 4 years. The new shoot date is now going to be March 7th through the 9th of 2025.
Okay.
And as Paige Pierce states in her Facebook about this whole shoot thing, is that for 58 years that shoot's been in Vegas, and most of those years the shoot was actually in March.
Yeah, and I don't understand the complaining, because I'll be honest, it's 6-1, half a dozen the other for me personally. And if you move it to March, I get the last week of chasing birds back. So for me, it's a win.
For Nevadans, it's a pretty much a win-win deal. The way Paige Pierce, and I know I keep saying that, but she explains it incredibly well. So I really, really do recommend getting on her Facebook page. The Vegas shoot is considered the Super Bowl of archery, indoor archery. The last several years, the last 8 years that it's been at South Point, it's been in the beginning of February. Well, if it's supposed to be the Super Bowl of indoor shooting, shouldn't it be the last tournament of the year, basically?
Well, that would make sense.
Rounding it all off?
Yeah.
Well, the last 8 years, it hasn't been. You do the Vegas shoot, and then you go to Louisville, and you got to shoot that indoor. So there's like two or three more tournaments.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Now it ends.
At Vegas.
The indoor season will end now with the World Championship Super Bowl of Archery in Vegas.
Yeah,
and
no,
you're
I'd
right.
agree.
I wouldn't even think of that, man. We got one more week of chasing birds.
Believe me, I was thinking about that because I was, as we were driving out of town to head down there, I was kind of going, man, I'm really giving up the last weekend of chasing birds to go shoot indoor target archery. What is wrong? But then I went, well, okay, it'll be fun. I get over it. But now it's a non-issue.
Now it's non-issue.
Perfect.
And
we get a full season.
You had a blast shooting indoor because you did real well.
Yeah, thanks. I'll tell you, hey, keep throwing the compliments my way. I'll take them.
You bet, bud.
I had a pre-built excuse. Before we get to commission meeting, you were shooting a new bow.
Yes, I just received it from Athens Archery. It is the new Axis 35, and I built it and set it up a week before Vegas, which in most cases is about the stupidest thing you can do.
You and I were both riding the
app. Yeah, because you did
not
the
sharpest
thing.
Tools in the shed.
No,
yeah.
You did the same thing. And I ended up shooting that darn thing pretty darn good. It is a insanely smooth shooting bow. I'm stoked with it, and I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to start shooting it and dialing it in for outdoor tournaments, which will be starting here the second or third week of March. Will be our first outdoor or 3D tournament.
It's that 3D in Winnemucca, right?
That's the 3D in Winnemucca. Yeah. And then we have the Hell or High Water in Carson City, which is a fun. That's a good kind of like ice breaking warmer upper.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably not, but it's a good one. It's a lot of fun. There's no pressure. There's no like championship belt buckle or anything. It's just to get out there, kind of loosen yourself up and have a blast. So there's a few kind of like one after another until April hits. And then you start getting into the bigger tournaments and the
trail shoots and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, the big trail shoots and all that kind of cool stuff. And then the big one in Reading, which we're all going to. We got our man house ready to rock and roll.
That's a good description.
It is. I think they're putting the cellophane and bubble wrap on the walls right now.
Perfect. Yeah. So and Timmy said there's more space, so it's not going to be like four or five of us in a room this time.
Yes. Yeah, because there are a few of our colleagues that
colleagues makes it sound a fit. We can just call them buddies, Dave.
Buddies, call them buddies that have a issue with being very loud sleepers, like crazy loud.
So hey, I'm in the same boat. I shot that Prime RVX, had it for about, I think I got it right about the same time you got the Athens. So both of us down there shooting new bows, and lo and behold, I shot my average. My average was a 291 at that league. I shot a 292 and a 289. I'm like right there at my average.
You're right in the zone.
So go figure.
Only way is up now.
Indian, not the arrow.
That's right.
So we'll set those up, and then no more knuckleheaded bow switching for me. I'm good for at least this season.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
Commission meeting. I'm pretty excited about this, Dave.
Yeah.
You sent me a text and just said there was a lot of good stuff coming down. So dealer's choice, where do you want to jump into commission meeting notes?
And I think the coolest thing that was finally agreed upon and adopted was the commission policy 24. You know, it's been kind of rotating through the commission for, probably about a year.
Okay.
You know, they do a reading, request some changes, changes were made, do another reading, same kind of thing, back and forth, kind of like doing a draft in a book report. You can find all of this information on the endow.org website, going under commissions, and then commission meetings, and then just pick 2024. It's the only one under 2024 because it was the January meeting. And you can get a lot of this, all of this documentation from there. The meeting minutes are not in it yet, but they will be. And it kind of goes through a little more detailed stuff. But Commission Policy 24 kind of recalculates how tags are being distributed.
Right. We've talked about this before on the show. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So basically, it's going to be providing more tags for what they've classified as primitive weapons, which is muzzleloader
and archery.
In certain areas based on those percentages and the new formulas for calculation. We can be seeing more tags for archers and for muzzleloaders moving into the 24-25 season in quite a few areas.
Okay, and I want to make the point real quick too, because I was just talking to somebody over at Hunting House about this. It's not new tags.
No, not new tags. So it's reallocation.
Yeah. The example I used over there was basically like if there were 10,000 total tags and it used to be 5,000 went to rifle hunters and then 5,000 were split between archers and muzzleloaders. Now that scale has shifted to where, let's say, it's 6,000 for muzzleloaders and archers, 4,000 for rifle hunters.
Correct.
There's not an overall increase in tag number. And for some people, that's hard. They go, well, they're new tags. Well, it's not. Yeah.
Yeah, not necessarily. No. And I mean, and there's more pieces further down the agenda for the commission that kind of add to the tags.
Okay.
Which we'll get into. But yeah, you're exactly right. They're not adding more tags.
There were 10,000. Now it's 12,000.
No, it's not that. It is strictly the calculation they're using just reallocates how those tags are to be distributed between the hunting classes.
Now, what was the biggest, and maybe you don't know this, I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but what was the biggest impetus behind this? Is it success rates, herd health? I mean, what did they take into account?
Well, some of it was success. The success rates. Another big thing was hunters crowding. There has been a lot of talk over the years. A lot of the any legal weapon hunters were really making their voices heard that there's too many people.
Yeah.
During our seasons, there's way too many people. So there was a crowding issue. Success was kind of redetermined, and that was part of that calculation, how they redesigned that program. And then herd health, habitat, I mean, all of that stuff kind of goes into the mix.
So, I will say kudos to Nevada, too, for addressing that, because you look at a state that they have royally effed up with too many people, and you look at Idaho.
I was gonna say Idaho, right?
Idaho.
Yeah.
You talk to Tim Burnett, had one of his worst elk hunts. My dad went up there to hunt elk, stand of trees where the elk like to bed and everything. By the time they made their way over the canyon, got in there, people had set up camps inside the stand of trees where elk like to bed.
Yeah.
There are too many people out in the hills in Idaho. So again, kudos to Nevada for addressing it, getting out in front of it before it becomes a real issue.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Like in Idaho, where you have people dumping broken glass and those little tire poppers at trailhead trying to keep people out. We don't want that here. I'd rather have it stamped out now.
Yeah. They did a really good job of seeing the future basically and going, okay, how do we rectify this or how do we make it?
No. Well, let's continue on with that theme when we come back after the break. Hey guys, don't forget, if you miss a segment of the show, or if you're listening and we gloss over something, go too fast, you want to go back and listen, you can go to 991fmtalk.com, or if you're an Apple user, get on Apple Podcasts, search for Nevada Backcountry, and you can catch up on anything you missed. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for hanging in there over the break. Hey, with the dry winter we've been having, maybe you thought, yeah, I could put off getting traction boards and a winch for my truck till next season. Well, if this latest round of storms proved anything, you need to equip yourself before heading out and about. Go see the guys at Truck Envy on South Virginia. Andy and the crew will get you taken care of. Whatever you need to get your rig off-road and safely back, they've got it. Commission meeting stuff, commission. Dave.
So more, yeah, a few real simple things that went on at the commission. You know, we had a bear conversation, the bear hunting.
A good or bad bear conversation?
I mean, it was good. And, you know, there were bear advocates there that said their piece. And okay. We appreciate the community coming out and providing their 2 cents. That was fun. So
I was waiting to hit the beep button there.
Right. So there are no changes for the 24 season, dates and regulations and all that stuff. So there's no change. That was that was the recommendation from the Department of Wildlife, and that was approved and passed. So anyone wondering about the bears, that's going to be the same old, same
status
old.
Quo.
Status quo moving into 2024.
Okay.
Which is good. Another commission, General Regulation 513, which was an executive order from Governor Joe Lombardo. He wanted all agencies, not only just Department of Wildlife, but everyone across the board in the state to go through all of their NACs, NRSs, all of their regulations, and try to streamline some stuff. Try to either remove them because they're not being used, they're out of date, whatever the situation may be, or to streamline them or clarify them.
Okay. So you know where I go right off the bat. Is Nevada going to get rid of the antiquated let-off rule for bows?
That is in the works.
Okay.
So that was proposed by myself, and it did not meet the particular standard for the executive order. So the executive order meant the entire NAC or NRS.
Right,
and the archery let-off is a piece of a NAC and NRS. It'll be done. It just has to go through a different channel.
Right.
So in the process of filling out that paperwork, and then I'll have to go in front of the commission and explain why, you know, as hunters and stuff, we feel this is important, which is a very easy case to make.
Yeah.
As most Western states have removed it. There's only one state.
Idaho,
which doesn't make any sense. They moved theirs from like an 80% let off to an 85% let off.
Yeah. Most bows now are coming at 90% from the factory.
They come out of the box. They come out of the box at 90% let off. And 90% of people buying the bows have no idea what their let off is. They grab the bow, they shoot it, they're like, man, this feels great. Wing, wing, wing. And they just get out there and start hammering.
People like us that shoot nonstop, that, you know, I play with the holding weight on my bow. I change the let off to get it to where it feels like I want it to feel. But you're absolutely right. For 99.1% of hunters out there.
Boom.
Did you like what I did there?
That was
they buy the bow from a shop. They get it tuned. They put some arrows through it, get it set up, and then they're off and hunting.
Right, and they get the kit at the shop that tunes their bow, and they hand them the bow, and they go out and shoot it. And
they don't realize that technically they are
illegal.
Yeah,
it's illegal. Most bows, like all the bows that I have received, are all adjustable. Like I can adjust my let off from my new Athens. I can adjust it from 70 to 90. Micro tune.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm always farting with this.
Agreed.
Where I end up adding a little let off when I'm hunting.
I'm the exact same way.
So, but anyway, yeah, that is definitely in process. But again, it didn't follow the criteria based on Executive Order 003. So,
okay.
So that's another thing that was discussed and is in process. And then the big one, we can get into this here, or do we want to save that one for next, is the Commission Regulation 2304, which set the 24-25 big game hunting season. So this is kind of cool because, well, I guess it depends on how you look at it.
So hang on, Dave, because I was so excited for what I thought you were going to pull out.
I know.
All right, so let's get through this, and then everybody listening.
You're shaking like a...
Oh,
like
buddy, I'm excited. You go through this, but for everybody listening right now, there is something extremely exciting and really cool coming to the state of Nevada. We'll get into that in the fourth segment. Now, Dave, go with 2304.
So this basically goes through all of the hunts, makes changes based on, you know, recommendations. So there are quite a few hunts where they are actually removing an entire hunt. A lot of the youth hunts are going to be getting changed.
Okay.
There are going to be some any legal weapon hunts, elk antlerless hunts, that their dates are going to be kind of switching. There are going to be the resident elk depredation hunt for area 144, 145 early season and a mid season. Well, they've combined that.
Oh, okay.
They've removed the early and the mid season, which was... No, they the first early season was August 1 to August 15th, so, you know, you had 2 weeks out there.
2 weeks, yeah.
And then the mid one was October 1st to October 31st, which was, you know, a longer period of time.
Right.
Now they made it August 1st to September 30th. One hunt for that entire time.
Way cool. Okay. Yeah.
So they did that on several of these. They kind of condensed some of these hunts. The youth hunt program had a lot of changes to it. The youths can't choose between antlered deer and antlerless deer on their tag. They can't shoot either or unless that area already has an open season on an antlerless deer or a doe.
Okay, so it's going to be unit specific.
Correct.
Okay.
And you have to follow the regulations based on that particular unit. So if the unit has antlerless deer hunt, then the youth can shoot either one.
Okay.
But if it doesn't, so an hypothetically say they're hunting in area 16, you can antler only hunt.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that was one of the bigger changes there. Again, there's several hunts where they've combined them. There's several hunts where they have the Desert Bighorn Sheep Hunt for any legal weapon, 173 North. It used to be a hunt that was September 15th to January 1st. They've extended that to August 15th to January 1st. So they've given you another month to harvest.
And I like that. I don't know what that effect will be on the herds in some of these units, but I will tell you personally, you know, for some of these areas that I know you like to hunt, I like to hunt, man, it's trying to get a tag done in 2 weeks when you have a full-time 9-to-5 in Reno.
Yes.
And you're going out there and you got 2 weeks to get it done, maybe two weekends.
Yeah.
That is tough. So having like some of those, you use the example of like an August 1 through September 30th. Hey, I'll take it because that means I'm not stressing. I'm not leaving work at 5 p.m. on a Friday, driving until 3 a.m. getting in so I can, you know, make the most of my 2 weeks I get to hunt.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Stretching it out a little bit. So, and there's, like I said, there's a lot of cool changes in here. And I think, you know, we'll have an entire episode once the hunt books come out and all of these regulations have been clarified with explanations. You know, in the document, which is, again, on endow.org under the commission, you can get in there and look at it yourself. There's a lot of stuff in blue, which are new hunts and changes, and then everything in red has been eliminated. So there's several hunts that have been eliminated. It's really good to take a look at it. But, you know, Henry and I will go through all of this.
Like we did last year when it comes out.
So that we can, because, I mean, right now I'm looking at 25 pages of just,
legalese.
It looks like one of my college term papers. It's just full of red.
Yeah.
And blue, which we didn't use blue in college. And if it, if they did, it probably wasn't on my paper.
No.
So there's some really cool stuff there.
Okay.
That is going to be really important for people getting ready to put in for their tags here.
Coming up shortly. Yeah.
Yeah. Another 8 weeks or so. There'll be
a
lot
of us. And non-resident is closing March.
Yeah.
12th, I think.
Yeah, I think it's the 12th. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think there are any regulation changes on some of the non-resident guided stuff.
Staying in the vein of some of this stuff, I wanted to bring up real quick. I did my shed hunting certification.
Oh, that's right.
It was all of like 20 minutes. So I've griped about it on the show before. I just wanted to put it out there to people. It only affects, it's like a handful of counties where our elk herds are basically.
Right.
But it took all of 20 minutes. There was like a 30 question test at the end of it. It was common sense stuff. It was easy. It was painless. And even though I'm a, coincidental or occasional shed hunter, I pick it up if I come across it bird hunting. I noticed most of the counties I chase birds in aren't included in that. But I thought better safe than sorry. I don't want to be caught out in, let's say, Lincoln County picking up an elk shed and get in trouble. The exciting stuff coming up, refill the coffee. I want you to start getting amped up because this next segment, we're going to talk about something pretty cool coming to the state of Nevada. Stay tuned to Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Excitement.
He's going nuts.
I'm going to lead into this a little bit with a personal story, but of all the game meat out there, everything I've ever had, obviously elk, antelope, that stuff's up there, mule deer, moose meat. And sitting here right now talking to everybody listening as someone with a freezer full of moose meat, thank you, Pops. Thanks for covering me this season. It is absolutely phenomenal. Man, if you've never had the opportunity to hunt moose, there's an outfitter in Canada, absolutely fantastic. I'm going to draw a blank on the name, but I know if you go back through the podcast, I know my dad has brought it up, who it was he went with. All that out of the way, Dave. I want to talk about the potential of hunting moose in the state of Nevada, the driest state in the union. I guess I got to quit using the nickname Swamp Donkey if we're shooting them in Nevada.
Probably.
There are very few swamps.
Yeah.
It's not like we're going to be plucking them out of cranberry bogs like they do in Maine.
No.
Moose hunting in Nevada.
I know, right? CGR 514 was on the commission docket. It was discussed, and the explanation for the proposed changes, which technically aren't really changes because it's brand new.
Right.
So that's kind of cool, is a regulation change to establish the following within the NAC R12223. I kind of sound like an attorney, don't I?
I was about to say, yeah, I don't give a shit about any of that.
Dave. Yeah.
Am I going to kill a moose in my lifetime in the state of Nevada?
Well, I don't know if you're going to kill one or, I don't know how tough the cat tax is.
It's going
to
be a lottery, yeah.
Yeah, so the proposal is to actually have a resident moose hunt in the 24-25 season. This coming season, everybody.
Yeah.
Like the one we'll be putting in for here in April.
Yeah.
There will be a possibility.
We're still waiting on final confirmation.
True, yeah. We are still waiting for final confirmation.
We're actually sitting here waiting for your phone to vibrate because you're waiting on a text.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, we are. So the proposed units are 6-1, 6-2, 6-4, 6-6 through 6-8, 7-1 through 7-7, 8-1, 101 through 103. All right, and this is for...
Unit 10, the rubies.
Yeah, and there's a little caveat here. It says, hunters may only take a moose with at least one visible antler.
Okay.
And an antler is defined in Nevada Administrative Code. I won't go through the code because Henry's freaking out right now. Yeah, so that was in the commission. When I first was reading a lot of the documentation on this, I thought it was for the possibility of a hunt in the future.
Right.
Because a lot of the documentation is kind of set that way.
Okay.
You know, kind of setting the precedence so when the time comes, you know, the Department of Wildlife doesn't have to go through that, you know,
the mechanisms in place or whatever.
Yeah, that 1-3 year process of getting a new hunt established. You know, you have to bring tons of evidence, supporting documentation, survey data. I mean, just gobs and gobs and gobs of information, proper habitat, all that kind of stuff. Well, they've been doing that for years, and they've got all that information. They've been doing, you know, proposing this for some time, and it's really cool. So they've laid it out as a resident antler moose tag and a non-resident antler moose tag.
Okay.
Antlered moose and an antlerless moose. So it's all kind of like being preset.
Okay.
But at this point in time, only one hunt will be proposed, and that is only a resident moose hunt, any legal weapon. It'll be September 1st through November 30th. So,
oh, awesome.
So you've got some time to get out there and check the area out. So me personally, I've been in this area, these areas a lot.
The Big Six makes sense. I was going to say the Big Six makes sense. The Unit 7 makes sense. The one that I'm scratching my head, I did not know there were moose in the Rubies.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
I'm
okay.
Sure the population's not overwhelming. I mean, you're going to have to hunt for it, but they're there.
Okay.
I've seen plenty of pictures of last year. There were quite a few archery hunters a handful of archery hunters that sent pictures in with like, check out what I'm staring at right now. And, you know, there's a moose in an aspen stand.
Any good bulls?
There was one, I don't know what area it was, but there was one moose last year on, what page was that? Nevada Big Game Hunt page.
Okay.
One of those pages that I think it was a muzzleloader hunter took a picture. And like I said, I don't know if it was in area 6 or 7. It was a pretty darn nice moose. I mean, it wasn't a 50, 60 inch moose, but it was probably in the 30s.
A decent
sized moose that was rummaging about. And I was like, wow, that's
way cool.
If the phone rings and I do find out that it is legit and it was covered, then as it states right now, it is a proposed hunt for the 2024-25 season.
You know, and I'm trying to contain my excitement over here, but the reality is this might turn into like a Rocky Mountain bighorn hunt.
Oh, without a doubt.
What it's going to be.
It's
like
exactly going to turn into
two,
something
three
like that.
Or people.
A goat. Or a goat. Or the
yeah,
goat hunt.
Yeah, okay.
It's going to turn into a situation where you have, I don't know how many tags. I'm assuming it's not going to be, you're not going to be looking at 15 tags. It's going to be maybe one, two, or three.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see it being anything more than three.
But still, there's hope. And I think most of us that hunt, personally, I am the eternal optimist. I still think 10 minutes from the end of legal light on the very last day of the hunt, I still think I'm going to get it done. I don't go out into the woods without thinking I'm going to get it done. And
right.
I approach applying the same way. So if you're telling me there's a chance, count me in.
Like you were stating, your dad went on this moose hunt. You can go around the country, go into Canada, do these moose hunts. The state of Nevada will be charging residents $120.
Yeah.
$120 for a moose tag.
Versus anywhere else, that's going to be $12,000 low end.
And even non-residents, it's a $1,200 tag, same as the elk.
Yeah.
You know, so dang.
Go for it.
That's pretty awesome. You know, and it'll be an any legal weapon thing.
So you can use whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, I'd be bringing my bow.
Yep.
But still, I mean, this is exciting stuff because I wasn't anticipating it being a hunt this quick.
Well, let's put it into perspective. How many years you been putting in for tags in Nevada, Dave?
40.
In those 40 years you've been putting in for tags in the state of Nevada, how many new species have they entered into the hunt lottery?
I don't think any.
So, for the first time,
I think goat was the last one. And still to this day, it's almost impossible to get one of those goat tags. There was actually at the commission, there was a hunter who put in to create a archery only goat hunt.
He messages us on JJ Basin Chaser on Instagram.
Yeah. So that got shot down. That didn't go anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah. Nobody was in support of that. They said there's so few tags as it is. And you have the opportunity to hunt it with a bow if you want anyway.
Right.
Because it's any legal weapon. And actually, forgot how many tags there were last year. Four? Two of them were shot with a bow. So
they were.
Yeah, that's what they brought up at the commission. Something okay. Like and the year before that, there was one shot with a bow. So they said, absolutely not going to create a whole new hunt just for a bow hunter.
Okay.
Personally, I agreed with.
Population isn't there to support it.
Right. And, you know, why make another hunt?
Do it on an any legal weapon tag.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just get the tag and just do what you can. I've been putting in. I don't anticipate it.
Yeah. Me too.
But back on the moose thing, I mean, I'm pretty stoked.
You and me both, Dave.
I'm really excited. I will definitely be one of the numbers in that lottery.
So no knock against mountain goat. Very cool animal. But man, what are you talking about? 60 pounds of meat, if you're lucky, coming off a mountain, 50, 60?
Yeah.
Coming off a mountain goat?
Yeah.
We're talking about 300-400 pounds of meat coming off a moose. I'm extremely excited that that is a possibility. And unfortunately, I've been trying to string this along. You have not received a text yet. So
I just got buzzed.
Oh, did you? All right. In real time, everybody.
Buzzed. Dun, dun, dun. Let's see here. Oh, man. What's with all this setting stuff? Come on. Yes on both.
Yes on both. Folks, you heard it here first. Nevada backcountry. There is a moose hunt coming to Nevada.
Yes, 2024-25, a moose hunt where you will be able to put in for. And I'll have to get some clarification on this because it just shows the Area 10. The Area 10 tag has the little asterisk on it that states the hunter may only take a moose with at least one visible antler.
Outstanding news. On that note, I don't want to talk into a microphone anymore. I want to go and buy a 3D moose target from Hunt and House Archery Center and start shooting at moose in my backyard. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And thank you to Legacy Sports International, home of the Howe Superlight, for sponsoring the show today. I'm off to dream about moose.
Same here.
Stay tuned for Tom Gresham's Gun Talk coming up next.